This morning I want to focus our attention on the interesting dynamics at work in our Gospel from St. Mark chapter 7. And there are some details in the Gospel that sometimes get overlooked, but they really provide us a keener insight, a deeper understanding of what exactly our Lord is up to in His healing of this deaf and mute man. The first thing that should be said is that Jesus is traveling from the district of Tyre by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee into the district of the Decapolis. Now you may ask yourself, so what? Or where are all those places? Never heard of them. Unless you've been there yourself, or maybe you know a little bit about archaeology, geography, and the Holy Land, these names may not be of significance to you. The names themselves aren't particularly of interest to us, but if you map out the way Jesus was traveling, it's interesting to note that it would be in our country, although on a smaller scale, analogous to walking from Stafford to New York City via Miami. No kidding. The journey ends up in pagan territory. It eventually ends up in Jerusalem, where Jesus will suffer and die. The journey itself probably took nearly 8 months. So this isn't just a Sunday stroll. This is a long journey. And Jesus takes the apostles away with him for these 8 months to be with them alone, to teach them, to indoctrinate them in his way, his life. And the next really big event that occurs in St. Mark's Gospel is really the beginning of the Passion. Now Jesus takes them into an area called the Decapolis, the last part of our Gospel here, where they end up with the healing. And the Decapolis, it literally means 10 cities, and it's an area that is Gentile, pagan. Jesus goes into an area which, as a Jew, would have rendered him what we call ritually impure. Meaning to say that before Jesus could go to Jerusalem and worship there in the temple, because he had consorted, mixed in with the Jews and had gone into pagan territory, he would have to go through a whole series of ritual purifications and cleansings so as to be ritually pure to celebrate the Passover or Pentecost or the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. But Jesus' desire to save us isn't restricted to the Jews. He's desiring to save all men, regardless of where they live, whether they're Gentile or Jew, pagan or believer in God. So this is exactly what St. James is getting at in the second reading. He says, show no partiality when persons come to pray in your assembly. Don't put the rich in certain places and the poor in other places, showing partiality to one group or another. This harkens back to our Lord's own example of how he himself shows no partiality in his desire to heal. And speaking of this healing, we have this man who is deaf and mute. Now, remember how deafness works. You have ever lived with someone who is deaf? Or maybe you can't hear me, you yourself are becoming deaf, right? Nevertheless, I have deaf members in my family. And what happens is deafness prevents, in large part, a person from seeing clearly. Why? Because a deaf person, I mean, when we speak, we're mimicking sounds with words. That's what language is all about. It's memorization, patterns and sounds. Well, if you can't hear correctly, then what's going to come out in your speech is going to be only as good as you can hear what's coming in, input and output. Now, it's interesting because in the church's history and our spiritual patrimony, we often say this one phrase, faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. Meaning to say that the gospel has to be preached to us. We have to listen to the word of God. We have to be taught, take it all in. And then that is supposed to embolden and engender deeper faith. Faith comes through hearing. So look at the analogy. If you're deaf, meaning to say, by analogy, your faith isn't so clear, maybe isn't so strong, what's going to come out isn't so strong either. Your actions, your moral life, your life of faith will only be as strong to the degree that you hear God well. So it's true that Jesus is committing a physical healing, a cure here, but even greater than a physical cure, the deaf and muteness is a metaphor for every single person who claims to be a follower of Jesus. That we come to faith through hearing, and then it is expressed in speech or in our moral lives. So our Lord really wants us to remember that it's not just a matter of, this is a random drive-by healing. You know, there's a dumb and mute man. Okay, let's go take care of him. There are literally hundreds of people who wanted Jesus to cure them. He didn't cure them all, but he cured certain individuals, and in doing so teaches us much deeper lessons about how deafness, spiritual deafness, and consequently muteness that results from our spiritual deafness can be cured and healed by him. And notice how Jesus does this. He doesn't heal the deaf and the mute man in front of everyone. Mark specifically mentions that Jesus takes him aside by himself, individually. And this is very, very important for us as we pray and become hopefully better disciples of the Lord. Sometimes when we struggle in life, we're filled with anxieties, with fears. There are circumstances of strife and conflict in our families and among our friends, or in our work, or in our school, or perhaps expectations and dreams unfulfilled and unmet. Sometimes we can almost relegate Jesus' relationship with us as sort of just some sort of general, he intends good for all of us in general. But as for me in particular, the individual person, well, I'm just one of many. God has so many concerns in the world, there's so many things going wrong in the world, that how could he possibly ever be interested in lowly old me? But the very fact that Jesus chooses to take this man away by himself reminds us that God cares and loves each one of us as individuals, yes, collectively as a people of God, but the people of God are constituted by individuals. Therefore, every human life is of interest and of desire on God's behalf. I mean, he wants us to know we love him, and he wants us to love him back. And it's more than just sort of this amorphous, kind of nebulous, just, you know, general sense of God's love. Really, authentic discipleship really begins when the individual has been captured by a love for God, individually, just me and the Lord. That he hears me, he listens to me, I trust that, I know I can come to him with any of my difficulties, he knows everything about me. Even before things I even conceived in my own mind and thought, God already knows. And he knows me more in a way than I know myself. So then we actually have the cure itself. A really interesting event. Now listen to what happens, right? There are these persons who bring the deaf and the mute man to Jesus. And they ask him specifically, according to the gospel, for Jesus to lay his hands on him. But Jesus is going to go a lot farther than lay his hands on him. Unfortunately, the English translation isn't so good, but in Greek, it would say this. Jesus thrust his finger into the man's ears. Now think about that for a second. If you're a deaf and mute man, and you've got a tough life, and you're having a bad day, and you're brought before Jesus, and they simply say, could you lay hands on him? Could you do a laying of hands on him? And Jesus says, sure, whack. And he gets him literally in the ears. He thrusts his fingers into his ears. You know, you might, as a deaf man, say, hey, it's okay. You know, thanks. Jesus even goes further. Then he spits and puts the spittle on the man's tongue. Now, you know, we as Americans have very, very strict rules about personal space, do we not? Like, little too close, No, we don't like close talkers even. I remember in D.C. when I was working as a layman years before I went to the seminary, you know, on the Orange Line between Northwest and my apartment out in Arlington, Russia. You know, I mean, you get any closer, you can press charges. And, you know, people used to get really annoyed at each other. You know, even now, you know, when you walk into a grocery store or anywhere you go, you bump into someone. I mean, it's impolite just to kind of just keep on going, right? You should turn around and say, oops, sorry. You know, other cultures don't have that same sense of personal space as we do. Look at Jesus and the healing. The man, I mean, I wonder the deaf and the mute man thinking to himself, do you just have one that just is the laying of the hands? You know, do we have to go through all this? The thrusting in my ears and spitting on my, putting on my tongue, it just really, I mean, but everybody's like, oh, that's not very cool. But why did Jesus do that? Well, the first thing, the putting of the hands in the ears is already showing in physical form to the observers what he's about to do. In antiquity, scholars tell us, spittle coming from a holy man was considered to have curative powers. Jesus uses the mindset, the understanding of the time, as a vehicle for enacting a cure and a healing. We, 2,000 years later, think that's gross. In Jesus' time, considered to be an act of curing. But these words sometimes escape us. The phraseology and the language doesn't always hit us unless we take time to understand what's really at work. So the cure occurs. Jesus removes the deafness. The man is able to speak. Is that not a metaphor for us, for example, when we receive the sacrament of penance? The deafness is removed. We can begin to go again and begin anew, to be restored, to be renewed, as the sacrament allows us. So then we come to this final part here, where upon observing what has occurred, and the healing that is now before them, the people marvel. And Mark writes here, they were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he has done all things well. Now, what is that all about? The last time we hear God receive commentary from man is several chapters earlier in this gospel, but the only time we hear God commenting about his own work is in Genesis, chapter 1, verse 31. God has just created the universe. And at the end of chapter 1, towards the end of chapter 1, in Genesis, the author writes, God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. God saw everything that he had made, and it was good. What is the import for us? Jesus, in restoring this man, is symbolically taking all of us that which in our original state, had it not been for original sin, would be good. Original sin has marred our original goodness. But Jesus takes that and he restores it and heals it and makes it new. So you see, rather than destroy us all after Adam and Eve, God decides to send his Son to restore and to renew us. He doesn't remove or pull away the gifts that he had given us originally. He actually renews them, he strengthens them, he fortifies them, he changes them, he transforms them. All of this encapsulated in the simple healing of a deaf and a mute man. So let us pray that the Lord will renew and restore each of us. The deaf and the mute man allowed all of this to occur to him. And it earned him freedom from that which kept him from being whole. The same can be us. If we only let the Lord work in us, perhaps in ways that we might consider a little bit over the top, putting fingers in our ear or spittle in our tongue, ways ways that might defy our expectations of how God might want to deal with us. But my friend, we know from the gospel today that if we allow that to happen, then anything is possible, and we can in fact be made whole. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.